Hello and happy day. This is Dr. Marianne DiIorio, your virtual life coach, welcoming you to Winning with the Word. Today we're going to be dealing with the problem of fear. All of us know what it's like to be afraid. When you were a child, you may have been afraid of the dark. Then, as you grew older, you may have developed other fears, like the fear of heights, the fear of elevators, the fear of flying, or the fear of dogs. I've met people who are terrified of birds and others who are afraid of bugs. To some, these fears may seem silly, but for the person who is experiencing them, they are very real and very agonizing. The Bible, God's instruction manual for man, describes fear perfectly when it says in the first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 18, that fear involves torment. If you've ever been afraid, you know exactly what that verse means. The word torment comes from the Latin word for torture and the French word for twist. Fear is torture because it twists the truth into a lie while making that lie look like the truth. It's interesting to note that an acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. Webster defines torment as extreme pain or anguish of body or mind. When you fear, you certainly experience anguish, both emotional and physical. You often can't sleep or eat. You may break out in cold sweats, or you may experience terrible stomach pain. Some people suffer heart palpitations when they are afraid. Others experience shortness of breath. On a purely emotional level, fear sometimes brings with it an oppressive dark cloud that seems to hover over your head. Some people experience a strangling sensation or feel as though they are choking. Still, others have nightmares. I'm sure you'll agree with me that this is no way to live. In fact, to fear is not living at all. It's dying a slow death. Why? Because fear comes from Satan, the source of all death. You see, there are two basic forces that control life: the force of God, which is called faith, and the force of Satan, which is called fear. All fear has its roots in Satan. Just as God operates by faith, Satan operates by fear. Because of this, we could say that faith connects us to God, whereas fear connects us to Satan. If there is fear in your life, you can be sure that Satan is at work trying to destroy you. We saw earlier that fear twists the truth and turns it into a lie that looks like the truth. This comes as no surprise when we realize that Satan is the author of all lies as well as of all fear. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible calls Satan a liar and the father of lies. You see, for everything that God has created, Satan has a counterfeit. From the very beginning, Satan has wanted to be God, but since he can never be God, he has set up his own counterfeit system. Whereas faith is the driving force of God's system, fear is the driving force of Satan's system. We could say that faith is believing in God's system, and fear is believing in Satan's system. By extension, then, faith is believing what God says, and fear is believing what Satan says. Both faith and fear are like magnets. Faith will attract the blessings of God into our lives, while fear will attract the curses of Satan into our lives. When fear attacks us, it attacks us in our minds, even though we may feel it in our bodies. If we give in to fear, it will grow stronger and stronger until it paralyzes us. If, on the contrary, we face the fear head on, we will neutralize its power and subdue it. What can you do if you find yourself in the grips of fear? How can you escape? Better yet, how can you conquer the fear that is robbing you of the joy of living? Here are some tips that help me whenever I am attacked with fear. Tip number one: whatever it is you're afraid to do, do it afraid. I once heard someone whom I respect very much make this profound statement. She said, "When you are afraid to do something, do it anyway, even while you're feeling afraid." In other words, take action in spite of and in the face of fear. Action always cures fear. You will find that as you do the thing you fear, the feeling of fear will diminish and often completely disappear. Tip number two: whenever you're attacked with a fear thought, replace it with a faith thought. Our minds cannot think of two things at the same time. If you want to prove this, try the following experiment. Begin counting from 1 to 10, but before you reach 10, say your name out loud. What happened when you said your name? You stopped counting. You could not count and say your name at the same time. Take advantage of this fact in dealing with fear. Since our minds cannot hold two thoughts simultaneously, the fear thought will have to leave when you replace it with a faith thought. For example, let's say you're afraid of heights. Your company sends you on a business trip and the hotel assigns you a room on the 27th floor. You know, of course, that if you're afraid of heights, you will always get a room on an upper floor, right? I'm being facetious, but why does this seem always to happen? My theory is that God wants us to overcome our fears, so He will provide us with a number of opportunities to do so. So how should you face this fear of heights? While you're riding up the elevator, you will probably be attacked with thoughts like, what if there's a fire and I can't get down? What if the elevator malfunctions and I remain stuck in it up there? Or a host of other fear thoughts may flood your mind. What should you do? Well, instead of thinking the worst, think the best. For instance, tell yourself that the view of the city from the top floor of the hotel will be breathtaking, or that being on the top floor is being closer to heaven. When you replace the negative thought with the positive thought, you will find yourself relaxing and actually enjoying the top floor. Tip number 3. Recognize that fear magnifies improbabilities and minimizes probabilities. In other words, fear will make the improbable seem probable and the probable seem improbable. We said earlier that an acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear has a way of maximizing lies and minimizing truth. In all of Satan's lies, there is a small element of truth. For instance, there could be a hotel fire, or there could be no way of escape from the 27th floor, but the chances of that happening are extremely low, while the chances of that not happening are very high. In other words, there's greater probability that no fire will occur than that one will. So focus on the positive, the scenario with the highest probability of happening. Tip number 4, recognize that to fear is to sin. Throughout the Bible, God repeatedly tells us not to fear. Why? Because God knows that fear will keep us from tapping into His blessings. The only way we can receive God's blessings is through faith. Indeed, the only way we can please God is by having faith in Him and in His Word. Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the law by which God's kingdom operates. By the same token, fear is the law by which Satan's kingdom operates. Fear is really negative faith. It is faith in Satan as opposed to faith in God. Fear is believing what Satan says about you or your situation instead of what God says. For example, let's suppose that your father suffered mental illness. Satan may attack you with the fear thought that you too will become mentally ill. He may torment you by bombarding your mind with the following thought, like father, like son, like father, like son, like father, like son. What should you do? Well, you have a choice. You can choose to believe what Satan is telling you, that is, like father, like son. In other words, that you too will follow in your father's footsteps by becoming mentally ill. Or you can choose to believe what God says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and that is that God has given you a sound mind, and a sound mind is not mentally ill. The choice you make will determine your destiny, for you will attract to yourself precisely what you believe. If you believe that you will become mentally ill, then you will. If, on the other hand, you believe what God says about you, that He has given you a sound mind, then you will have a sound mind. Tip number 5. When fighting fear, you have to take the offensive. Fear is a vicious enemy. When it attacks, you can't just sit back and hope it goes away. You have to resist it. How do you resist it? By doing what you fear. In addition, because fear is at its root a spiritual problem, we need to take spiritual measures to deal with it. This involves taking action in the spirit realm. Only born-again believers in Jesus Christ have the power and authority to fight fear in this realm. If you have been born again into the kingdom of God, then according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you have the spiritual weapons that will overcome fear every time. These weapons form part of the whole armor of God as described in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. The believer in Jesus Christ is to put on this spiritual armor. In so doing, he will be victorious in facing and overcoming all the forces of Satan, including the force of fear. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Word of God says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This means that our real enemies are not flesh and blood. In other words, our real enemies are not people. Our real enemies are the demonic beings that reside in the spiritual realm, the realm that we cannot see with our natural physical eyes. Just because we can't see something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Can you see the wind? No, yet you know it exists. Why? Because you see its effects. You see it rustling the leaves as it blows through the trees, for instance. The same is true of spiritual things. Just because we can't see them doesn't mean they don't exist. We can't see God, yet we know he exists. All we have to do is look at creation. We can't see Satan and evil spirits, yet we know they exist. How do we know? All we have to do is observe the evil around us. The good news, however, is that one born-again believer in Jesus Christ is more powerful than all the demons of hell put together. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. This means that God, who is in the born-again believer, is far more powerful than Satan, who is in the world. Wouldn't you like to have the power of God in you to enable you to overcome fear? Wouldn't you like to look the spirit of fear in the eye and have it flee from you? You can, simply by receiving Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior and as the Lord of your life. When you receive him, you receive all of his power as well. You receive the power to overcome fear and every other negative thing in your life. So don't suffer a moment longer with fear. Don't let this podcast end without accepting Jesus Christ into your life. He alone can help you to conquer fear. He alone can give you what the Bible calls the peace that passes all understanding. If you have not yet invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, I encourage you to do so now. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I admit that I am a sinner in need of your mercy and grace. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for me, and that you rose again on the third day. I invite you now to come into my life. I receive you as my personal Savior and as the Lord of my life. Make of me all that you created me to be. Amen. If you sincerely prayed this prayer, you are now a born-again Christian. I invite you to write to me, Dr. Mary Ann DiIorio, at Dr. Mary Ann, that's MaryAnn, at MaryAnnDiIorio.com. I would like to send you a little booklet that will help you get started in your Christian walk. Also, check out my popular book, You Were Made for Greatness, on my website at MaryAnnDiIorio.com. Learn the truth about the authority and power you have in Jesus Christ. Until next time, this is Dr. Mary Ann DiIorio, your virtual life coach, reminding you that God loves you just as you are and just where you are, and that he will help you to keep on winning with the Word.